And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about Brexit. Brexit at last. That is one of the many declarations and proclamations and so on that are being made about what is happening over in the UK, which is actually very, very exciting. They are saying that now that Boris Johnson is Prime Minister of the UK, at last, after many years of struggle and debate and everything else. Of course, we know what happened back in 2016, back before the election that ushered in President Trump into the White House. There was the Brexit vote. We did a radio show. We talked about it back then, the importance of it, because the European Union represents globalism. That's what it represents. All of the depravity of globalism, the attempt by the draconian powers of old Europe to reclaim their lost Holy Roman Empire. That's how I see it. It's how we see it over here. There's no question that Rome is right in the midst of that whole thing, trying to recreate the Holy Roman Empire. This is what Hitler was trying to do during World War II. And what they did is, after World War II, is they changed their strategy. They couldn't do it by force with Nazism. So they reinvented themselves through this idea of economic interdependency, basically a socialist system. And the reason this whole thing matters is because this is what they have planned to try and do with America. You had for a while the North American Union, the idea of unifying the United States, Mexico, and Canada. And there was even this North American Union currency that came out. It came out with coins apparently several years ago. This was a real concern that they were trying to join together in a geopolitical way. Geopolitics is where you think about countries in terms of whole continents. You unite the continents, and then the idea is that supposedly they're going to eventually unite all the different continents into a one world system. This is what the New World Order is all about. And of course, communism and socialism is the driving philosophy behind it all. Now you have this celebration that's going on because with Boris Johnson and his administration, he has declared he is determined to carry out the Brexit ruling. And apparently now, this is what's happening. This is what's happening. It's Brexit now. It's going to happen. Here is a speech. I want to play part of the speech that Nigel Farage, who is really the champion of this whole movement, he has been a part of it for decades. And he, of course, has been part of the European Parliament. He's given many great speeches there. We've played some of them on the program. But this was his farewell speech. The EU had banned flags, like anybody bringing the flag of their country into the EU. They banned that. So what does Nigel Farage and his supporters do? They show up with flags of England, little flags of England, waving them around. And of course, they were told to get rid of the flags, etc. But they basically waved their farewell. And Nigel Farage gave a great speech. I want to play part of it here on the program so you can hear. But he's basically bidding farewell to the European Union. Here's what he said. Listen.
So this is it, the final chapter, the end of the road. A 47-year political experiment that the British, frankly, have never been very happy with. My mother and father signed up to a common market, not to a political union, not to flags, anthems, presidents, and now you even want your own army. But the most significant point is this. what happens at 11 p.m. this Friday, the 31st of January, 2020, marks the point of no return. Once we've left, we are never coming back, and the rest, frankly, is detail. We're going, we will be gone. If we want trade, friendship, cooperation, reciprocity, we don't need a European Commission. We don't need a European Court. We don't need these institutions and all of this power. And I can promise you, both in UKIP and indeed in the Brexit Party, we love Europe. We just hate the European Union. It's as simple as that. So I'm hoping this begins the end of this project. It's a bad project. It isn't just undemocratic, it's anti-democratic, and it puts in that front row. It gives people power without accountability. People who cannot be held to account by the electorate. And that is an unacceptable structure. Indeed, there's an historic battle going on now across the West, in Europe, America, and elsewhere. It is globalism against populism. And you may loathe populism, but I tell you a funny thing, it's becoming very popular. And it has great benefits. I know you're going to miss us. I know you want to ban our national flags, but we're going to wave you goodbye. And we'll look forward in the future to working with you as sovereign.
If you disobey the rules, you get cut off.
Okay, so that's what happened there. So now they're at the end of the speech. They started waving their flags. They started waving the flags of England very boldly. And, you know, Nigel Farage is smiling, and all the British representatives there, the MEPs, are clapping and celebrating the departure. It looks like this is it. You know, they had the Brexit vote back in 2016. They voted to leave. There was a huge celebration, but then, of course, there's all this resistance that has gone on, and you have those who, I mean, the government basically said they would put it to a vote and that they would honor whatever the people voted for there in England. Well, they voted to leave. They voted to be rid of the European Union and to depart from it and have their national sovereignty returned to them. It's kind of hard for people here to imagine this, but when England joined the European Union, they effectively surrendered their national sovereignty. They're allowing this foreign body of leaders that are mysterious and nobody even knows how the chain of command and how the whole system works at the European Union. It's very, very confusing. If you watch the documentary Brexit, that's what I highly recommend watching if you want to understand the EU. The whole thing is set up in what the members of the European Parliament, the MEP, what they have said, they believe is a deliberately deceptive system of confusion. In other words, they've created a confusing system that even they, the MEPs, do not fully understand. And nobody does. The citizens don't understand it. They don't understand how the system works. It's deliberately confusing. And the MEPs that are voted in by the common people to go and represent the interests of their country at the European Parliament, those people have little or no power. When they vote, when they cast a vote, the vote is handed up to a bunch of leaders upstairs in the EU, and those leaders who are, some of them are known and others are not quite known, they let you know whether or not they're going to agree with your suggestion. And more often than not, the answer comes back, no, we're not going to do whatever it is that you wanted us to do. And so basically you have a system of totalitarianism at work with the EU imposing all these things on these member countries. That's why they've all been flooded with Muslims, because they've been told you have no choice. You have to have all these Muslims come into your country by the hundreds of thousands and by the millions. And even though they're causing mayhem and you've got rape gangs and you've got no-go zones and now acid attacks and knife attacks and all this other kind of stuff. Well, that doesn't matter. The EU overlords have decided you have to take in these people regardless of whether you want to or not. You must take them in, and that's it. And so this is why Western Europe is really in peril. They're in peril. This is part of the globalist plan, I believe, to undermine and overthrow Christianity in the West. And that's what I've talked about. This whole situation with Islam goes back to World War I and World War II. You look at the records, what happened, how the Nazis were basically saying that they wished Islam had conquered Western Europe. That's one of the quotes from Hitler. And we talk about this in the audio CD, Hitler's Jihad. That's what I talk about there. I show you the documentation, show you the 1937 a booklet called All Islam, World Power of Tomorrow, written by the Nazi journalist Paul Schmidt, etc., envisioning the Muslims flooding into Western Europe and the Western world and eventually overwhelming the Christian population there. This is all part of what appears to be a greater agenda that goes back to the Second World War, that whole era. But here's another clip. Before we go to our commercial break, we've got a short period of time. What I wanted to do is play another clip. This is some audio from the Brexit documentary where they're describing the confusing nature of the system and how it works, and that nobody understands quite how the European Union actually works. Listen.
People might not understand exactly how the functions of the British Constitution work, but they get the gist of it. Once every 5 years, we go down the school hall or to a church, we put a cross in a ballot paper, they're all counted up, and the chap with the most votes wins. We get that. You try working out how a European commissioner is appointed. It's positively Kafkaesque. You can't actually get your head around who does what, why, and who is answerable to whom.
The European Union, which imposes laws on 28 countries, is made up of seven main institutions, which include the European Council, the Council of the European Union, the Court of Justice of the European Union, the European Commission, and the European Parliament.
Do you know the difference between the European Council, the Council of the European Union, and the Council of Europe?
It's a very good question.
Tell me how many presidents there are in the European Union.
How many presidents?
Yeah.
I'd guess at one.
There's two presidents, for goodness sake. I don't know what the difference between the two presidents is. There's four presidents, you say.
There are squads of committees and presidents of this and commissioners of that.
The expression I really hate is pooled sovereignty. It's bollocks. The people of Slovenia have no more idea than the people of the UK and the people of Sweden or the people of Spain what in fact is going on.
I wouldn't profess to understand the detail of how it all works. And I think part of that is deliberate.
One side knows. One side is a priesthood and knows how it all works. And the rest of us, ordinary citizens, don't know how it works. A massive transfer of power takes place.
It was devised to make sure that the great mass of the people could not control government ever again.
All right, and that last comment there is from Janet Daly, who is a journalist and author. She's interviewed in the film. But prior to that, you're listening to some journalists and some members of parliament. You're listening to political figures who are describing how politically it's confusing, appears to be deliberately confusing, and they, who are politicians themselves, don't even understand how it all works. That's very, very disturbing. And of course, this is why people like Nigel Farage and those who agree with him have been opposing the European Union for decades. All right, let's go to our commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about what this means and how this may affect Bible prophecy when we come back right after this.
Adullam Films presents an exciting new documentary, Bridge to Babylon, part 3 in an award-winning series on the untold history of the Bible. Dr. Jack Moorman calls it a masterful presentation of what is the single most important issue facing Christians today, the defense of the Bible as the Word of God. Why was the Bible changed in 1881? Why have so many churches abandoned biblical inerrancy? And what direction are scholars taking the scriptures today? Learn the truth in Bridge to Babylon, the sequel to A Lamp in the Dark and Tares Among the Wheat. Bridge to Babylon is now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I also knew, living in Memphis on the New Madrin Fault, that there is the possibility of an earthquake. I also know that ice storms can cause the power to go out here, not to mention the threat of terrorism. There were many reasons. So I contacted the company Mountain House and asked if I could become a distributor of their product. I had some of their food when I was in high school on a couple camping trips, and it's really good. But now Worldview Weekend has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. We have one pack that's available. It's a bucket of food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 14 days for one person. For more details, just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. Today, we are talking about the situation with Brexit there in the UK. It appears, based upon what's being said, that the Brexit decision will be upheld and enforced here under the leadership of Boris Johnson. And, of course, with the very, very strong support of Nigel Farage, he's really been Mr. Brexit for decades. And he's been the leading voice, I think, unquestionably, in favor of pulling the UK out of the European Union. It's just not a good situation for England at all. And they're much better off without it. Of course, you've got other voices out there who are saying that the people of England are going to regret this, that they're going to come crawling back to the UK. That's one of the headlines in, let's see, this is from Breitbart. EU exit clause author, quote, "Stupid Brits will crawl back to EU with tail between our legs." And that's because the EU exit clause author is himself a Brit. And so he's claiming that this is something that England will live to regret. I, however, do not agree. I think I agree with the Nigel Farage view, because the Brexit view is one of freedom. That's what it is. It is one of freedom. And here is this is a quote from a guy named Toby Young, who's an associate editor with an online magazine called Quillette. And he's being interviewed about this, and they ask him what this is at a big Brexit party. They're having these celebratory parties now over there in England where they're all celebrating, hey, Brexit's going to happen. This is it. The decision's been made. You know, we heard Nigel Farage say, okay, that's it. We're going and we're not coming back. It's it. It's over now. And so they are leaving once and for all. Of course, he says all the rest is details. We're going to have to wait and see how those details are worked out. We're going to have to wait and see. But the demeanor, the mood is, it's a celebration. We're leaving. We're out. It's over. But here's what this editor, Toby Young, here's what he said about it as an Englishman.
What does Brexit mean to you?
I think it means Britain reclaiming its sovereignty after 47 years of it ebbing slowly away. power has now been restored to the Palace of Westminster. The British people have their destiny back in their own hands, and we can now forge ahead. And whether good things or bad things happen to us, it'll be on our heads, and we won't be at the beck and call of these faceless bureaucrats in Brussels.
Okay, so you heard what he said, that this is a return of national sovereignty to the people of England, and he says we're not going to be at the beck and call of these faceless bureaucrats in Brussels. He's talking about the EU leaders. Faceless bureaucrats. Why? Because they don't really know who's running the whole thing. Now, of course, I'm going to tell you that I think it's very, very Jesuitical, because the entire focus of the European Union is pointed in the direction of the Counter-Reformation, which is to overturn what the Reformation did, which is to restore the law of God as the standard for holding the powers of both church and state accountable for their actions. And so where government is concerned, to hold the government accountable. If you listen to the comments from Nigel Farage, what is he complaining about? He's saying there's no accountability. These mysterious leaders in the EU have no accountability to the people, none. And they're talking about how the whole purpose of the EU is to remove any power from the common people. Remember, you go all the way back to John Wycliffe in 1384. Wycliffe translates his Bible from Latin into Middle English, and he says, this Bible is for a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And so that, I believe, is what all of this is really about. It's about trying to overturn the freedom, the accountability, and the rights of the common people that were won through the great Protestant Reformation, and trying to overturn all of that. That would be Rome's interest in this, and bringing back totalitarianism. Now, if you study comments from the Catholic Church leaders and so on, what's interesting is most Catholics over in England, it is said about 55% of them support Brexit. In other words, they want out of the EU. But it is said that the Vatican, the bishops, and certainly the Jesuits are not happy about Brexit. They want the UK to remain part of the European Union. And so you have an article in the America magazine, the Jesuit Review, that says, ask not for who the Brexit bell tolls, where it's kind of hard to figure out exactly what they're saying. But at the very end of the article, they seem to take a jab at the fact that Boris Johnson and his administration were recently brought into office by the voters, and that's why this new surge to say, okay, Brexit now, that's it, we're out of here. And so here's what this article ends with, a quote. It says, in a widely circulated quote attributed to him, George Orwell tried to tell us, but we have not listened. Quote, a people that elect corrupt politicians, imposters, thieves, and traitors are not victims, but accomplices. That seems to be a not so subtle jab against the election of Boris Johnson and his administration, as they were overwhelmingly, they were ushered into office for this specific purpose. Now we're going to listen to a little bit of audio from Boris Johnson himself. I like Boris Johnson. I think he's a very interesting a politician, a very interesting leader, with his disheveled look, with his hair kind of all over the place. But I just think it works for him. He's got a big voice, and he's kind of a big guy, and he's just a straight talker. He just says straight out what he thinks, and he's very popular there. But he gave a speech yesterday, 4 p.m. their time, and the theme of the speech was, tonight we are leaving the European Union. Here's part of what he said.
Tonight, we are leaving the European Union. For many people, this is an astonishing moment of hope, a moment they thought would never come. And there are many, of course, who feel a sense of anxiety and loss. And then there's a third group, perhaps the biggest, who had started to worry that the whole political wrangle would never come to an end. I understand all those feelings, and our job as the government My job is to bring this country together now and take us forward. The most important thing to say tonight is that this is not an end, but a beginning. This is the moment when the dawn breaks and the curtain goes up on a new act in our great national drama. And yes, it's partly about using these new powers, this recaptured sovereignty, to deliver the changes people voted for, whether that is by controlling immigration or creating free ports or liberating our fishing industry or doing free trade deals or simply making our laws and rules for the benefit of the people of this country.
Right. So there you hear Boris Johnson just reaffirming everything else we've heard. This is about England reclaiming its national sovereignty and making sure that laws that are passed are actually passed to help the people of England. They have been dealing with for years what we're dealing with here in the United States. The Democratic Party spends all of its time arguing about the rights of illegal aliens coming from Mexico. They've done virtually nothing for the people of this country while they've been in power. But that's the whole European Union globalist Marxist mentality. That's why the leave vote, getting out of the European Union, is so important for England. And it should be very interesting to see what happens in their country and in our country going forward. And on the next program, that's where we're going to have to talk about these issues that pertain to Bible prophecy, which we will follow up on. All right, brethren, that is it for us today. That is our show. We're out of time. We will stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.